The assault, though ferocious, was not as unrelenting as many of the previous attacks, and within an hour the waves of enemy combatants spewing forth from no man's land ceased, and the defenders could take stock and lick their wounds. The dead would be counted, their bodies burned. A shot rang out from further along the trench, and Regan and Tarik dropped the dead irregular they were carrying and reached for their weapons in anticipation of another attack. They soon relaxed again, once they realized it was merely one of their own snipers picking off wounded cultists and mutants who had fallen before they had reached the trench.
What took you so long? I thought you were going to fetch us some water. I can't shift the taste of mud from my mouth, and Tarik reckons his is so dry that Talan have requested to use it for combat exercises.
The podgy figure of Murtog ambled through the sludge towards the two seated men, shoulders slumped in defeat. Crouching down so that his head was no longer in line with the lip of the trench, he removed his helmet to reveal his shock of curly auburn hair.
There's none left.
What do you mean there's none left? We're stationed in a muddy gash in the earth where water pisses out of the very walls we're trying to defend.
He twisted a finger into the dirt wall of the trench and pulled it out. To prove his point, a trickle of water seeped down towards the ground, leaving a narrow channel in the trench wall in its wake.
Orders are not to drink it. Something to do with that emperor-forsaken mist that's clinging to the ground. It contaminates everything it touches. Some of the lads billeted further around the trench caught a small canid in no man's land and ate it. When they were found the next morning in their bunkhouse, it looked as if they'd been pulled inside out. That's what I heard anyway.
So what are we supposed to do in the meantime? We'll all be dead of dehydration by the time the next attack wave comes.
Murtog simply shrugged. Regan removed his water bottle from his belt and shook it, but it didn't make a sound. Tarik did likewise with the same result. They both looked at Murtog, who fumbled his own bottle from his belt and imitated his comrades. Nothing.
What about him?
Tarik pointed a tattooed finger at the corpse they'd just unceremoniously dumped in the sludge. Murtog and Regan shared an anxious look.
Come on, Tar. You know the orders are that corpses are to be recovered with their kit so it can be redistributed. Talomin will have you up on a charge if he finds out.
Ignoring his friend's protest, Tarik leant down to the corpse and, after removing a half-full water bottle from the dead man's belt, began rifling through his pockets.
What's this, then?
His stubby fingers emerged from the inside of the cadaver's tunic, grasping a small silver flask. He unscrewed the cap and put the container to his nose.
It's not Amasek, my friends, but it looks like...
He plunged his hand inside the dead man's tunic again, and it re-emerged, holding a set of dog tags.
Trooper Meslin here was in possession of prohibited materials, to wit, and I quote the guardsman's primer here, liquids of an intoxicating or stupefying nature likely to impair or inhibit a guardsman's ability to fight, if imbibed.
The tattooed former ganger screwed the cap back onto the flask and slipped it away in the folds of his own tunic.
Way I see it, I'm doing old Meslin here a favour. Wouldn't want that kind of stain on his service record. I mean, what would his grieving family think if they found out that he were both dead and a drunkard? I don't think I could have that on my conscience, quite frankly. So...
The three guardsmen turned in alarm.
Not only can you not follow a direct order from me not to shoot until you have a confirmed kill, but it appears you can't follow a simple standing order to recover casualties with full kit!
They'd been so distracted by Tarik's corpse looting that they'd failed to hear Colonel Talomian and his fox trooper, Linkmel, approaching. Whereas Linkmel and the three other irregulars were caked in filth from head to toe, the colonel appeared as if he had just slipped into a fresh uniform, the only giveaway that he'd strode the half-kilometre from his command bunker, the couple of centimetres of wet brown stain that caked the bottom of his grey field coat. Despite his fresh attire, the colonel's bearded face looked as tired and battle-weary as any of the rank-and-file troops in the trench. His wide, bloodshot eyes lent him a crazed bearing that was beginning to make itself evident in his voice as well.
Or, alternatively, by making that first shot, I drew the enemy into revealing their positions. We used to pull stuff like that all the time in ship's bottom. There was this one time...
Talomian had run out of patience with the insubordinate ganger, and looked ready to strike him with the gloved fist balled at his side when the Vox unit on Link Mel's back sounded.
Forward 19, this is Amadeus Prime. Do you copy? Over.
Link Mel reached an arm around to pick up the Vox receiver on his back, but Delomian spun the trooper roughly around and picked up the handset himself.
This is Forward 19. Go ahead, Amadeus. Over.
Reinforce and resupply denied. We're on our asses up here and can't spare food or water, let alone able bodies. You're on your own, Forward 19. Good luck and good hunting.
Telomian was just about to protest when the line to Amadeus' command went dead. In frustration, he threw the handset away along the trench, causing Linkmel to slide through the mire to retrieve it. Nostrils flaring, he turned his attention back to the three men. Fearing the full brunt of the colonel's wrath, and noticing his hand straying towards the bolt pistol holstered at his waist, Regan, Tarik, and Murtaugh began to edge away slowly. Then, abruptly, the colonel's demeanor cooled, and sanity embraced him again.
I could have you all up on charges for your conduct, but in light of current circumstances, I believe that would be counterproductive. However, as you saw fit to deprive your fellow soldiers of food and water...
In fairness, sir, it was only water. We didn't actually find any...
As you saw fit to deprive your fellow soldiers of food and water, it is only fitting that you should make amends by finding them food and water.
The colonel's piercing stare withered Murtaugh where he stood.
And how do you propose we do that, sir? Walk up to the enemy trenches and ask them if they'd mind lending us a barrel of fresh water and a couple of hammocks?
Another piercing stare. Another guardsman withered.
Not a bad idea, Trooper Antigone. Let's call that the backup plan. What I'm actually ordering you to do is march back to Amadeus and see what you can lay your hands on. Tarik here must still have some contacts among the criminal fraternity. And failing that, there's a finely stocked zoological garden on the upper levels that I'm sure will provide several days' supply of fresh meat.
The three olive-clad troopers looked around at each other in amazement. Regan motioned with his eyebrows at Tarik, encouraging him to speak. When the ganger didn't bite, Regan stepped up.
With the greatest of respect, sir, that's the most ridiculous thing we've ever been ordered to do. Even if the three of us could get to Amadeus and back with enough food and water to make it worthwhile, I'm not prepared to deprive the people we're trying to defend. We might as well poison the water supply ourselves and spare them the slow death of dehydration or starvation.
The other two irregulars looked on apprehensively, anticipating the colonel's hand finding its way back to the butt of his pistol.
Thank you for being honest and forthright with me, Trooper.
Murtaugh and Tarik visibly relaxed, grateful that neither them nor Regan would be the victim of battlefield justice.
In that case, we'll be going with the backup plan.